Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with everyone on this Labor Day. It is the third day of September 2018. We're going to have a very rich broadcast today, I believe. And get your thinking helmets on, if you will, the mind of Christ. Get your pad of paper, your pen, write some things down that we're going to be sharing that may be of interest to you and things that you may want to go back and recall when they are fulfilled. But before getting on, I want to share with you a little poem that this morning I woke up and I have this written at the very first page in my Bible. I wrote it probably about, 8 years ago. And it's not really a poem. It just seems so prophetic right now. Maybe it's a little prophetic poetry in motion. Only God knows. But I thought because this is Labor Day and some of the things that are said in this little writing may be of value to our listeners. So here's what we wrote a number of years ago. The eagle that soars in the highest heights can see all things down below on earth, but that is not his reality. To him the heavens rejoice. There is peace and calm. His delight is in flight. So mount up with wings of an eagle and find the life God has intended for you. We are not intended to labor or struggle in the turmoil of the lower life. We are meant to experience life in God. All are welcome to come into Christ, where life, joy, peace, and all things good can be found. If we are to struggle, then it must be that we struggle to be free from the world, our flesh, and the devil, and struggle to bring men into life, yet always soaring with the wind at our back. Struggle, labor, fight, contest, conflict, all of these are realities. And yet there remains a rest for the people of God. And what I want to lay this morning is a foundation. And I want to speak of some very real things that are around and about us, very real, genuine things that we should be paying attention to fully right now. But I'm going to begin the broadcast with that little poem, this writing out of Hebrews chapter 4. And I would just call your attention to Hebrews 4:1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, speaking of the Old Testament, if you will, Jewish nation, Israel, because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief, again, he limits a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest when he brought them into the promised land, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Verse 11, let us labor on this labor day, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. What is that rest that you and I are called into, that repose, that calm? Well, that is entering into the finished work. The works were finished before the foundations of the world in Christ Jesus. God's eternal purpose was in Christ, and you and I, the new covenant people, are called to enter into a promised land of rest. It is not the physical promised land that Joshua led the Israelis into. It is a prophetic territory of divine rest where we cease from our struggle and our labor and our turmoil with the world, the flesh, and the devil. In other words, there is an access point, an entrance, a door into peace, into rest. And that door is Christ. And when we genuinely, by faith, access that entranceway into the kingdom of God, we are met with God's divine peace, because there's no more guilt, there's no more shame, there's no more condemnation. It is a person that has fully entered into the finished work, has received the benefit of the work that's been accomplished for them. This work has been accomplished for the whole world. And millions upon millions of people have entered in, they've pressed in to receive this rest. In the world, there will never cease to be the winds of adversity, the turmoil, the confusion, the chaos. These things will continually grow into a tumultuous storm in the last days when the four winds are blowing upon the nations of the earth. And so we know that the sea and the waves will be roaring. We know that men's hearts will be failing. We know what is coming on the earth realm. Now, you can live on this terra firma earth. You can live in this, on this planet, but your inward spiritual reality and mine, there can be perfect peace, rest. It is the way that God has prescribed for the human race. That rest is found in Jesus. It can only be accessed by faith. They had this rest preached to them as well, but it did not profit them because they did not mix it with faith. They hardened their heart against the way of God, the direction that God was bringing them in. And so you and I do not want to fall or fail this beautiful grace, this wonderful rest that has been provided for you and I in Christ. And, you know, that to me, a Labor Day celebration in the spiritual sense of things, this is going to be a safeguard. The rest of God that's in Christ Jesus, that you and I are welcome to access, it will be a refuge within, so that panic will not strike us. Okay, and I'm going to say something to you here in just a moment that I really have been praying about and believing that this is a God message. But before I do, let's talk a little bit about the prophetic wine for the future temple. This is coming out of Israel. Wine is mentioned by the prophets as a sign of the Jews' return to the land of Israel. One Israeli vintner is experiencing this prophecy fulfilled. Eyal Tsar, a vintner at the Golan Heights Winery, combines three of his greatest passions in his job: wine, Torah, and the land of Israel. For Tsar, that's his name, wine has certainly played an important, if not prophetic, role in his aliyah, his immigration to Israel. Arriving in 1991 from Germany, he began working at the Golan Heights Winery in 1993 upon completion of his service in the Israeli Defense Force. For Tsar, it is clear that making wine is far more than creating a beverage. He believes that contained in his bottles is the most powerful proof that the Jewish people have returned to their biblical homeland. He said, several prophets speak specifically about grapevines as a part of the Jews' return to the land of Israel. To Breaking Israel News, he said that too. He said, what is so special about grapes? Why didn't the prophets speak about wheat or herds of cattle? When the prophets describe a return to Israel that included grapevines, they were describing a specific type of return, one that will be permanent. Contained in a bottle of wine is the proof that the Jews have returned to Israel in a meaningful and permanent manner, Sarah continued. It takes many years of work until you enjoy the wine. After you plant a grapevine, you have to wait 4 years for orla. Orla literally means uncircumcised, refers to the prohibition of eating the fruit from a tree planted in Israel for the first 3 years. When the temple exists of the fourth year may be eaten in Jerusalem. When you enter the land and plant any tree for food, you shall regard its fruit as forbidden. 3 years it shall be forbidden for you, not to be eaten. In the fourth year, all its fruit shall be set aside for jubilation before Hashem. That's Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. So even after we harvest the grapes, he said, aged red wine sits in the cask for 2 years, Sarah explained. Planting grapevines is a long-term investment. It is only for those who are truly connected to the land and who plan on being here for many years to come. For Golan Heights Winery, this process has been even longer and more tenuous. Planting their first vines in 1976 was a leap of faith. Israel's northern Golan Heights were conquered in the 1967 Six-Day War, but the region was not annexed by the Israeli government until 1981. The yet-to-be-harvested vineyards were nearly lost when Syria overran the region in 1973 Yom Kippur War. The first Golan wine was produced in 1983, immediately receiving international accolades. The winery has invested heavily in the Golan based on the belief that the prophetic return of the Jews to the region is permanent. They currently harvest more than 1,200 acres of vineyards. Their yield of 5.5 million bottles of wine annually is relatively low since they emphasize quality over quantity. Sarah contrasted this long-term investment to the manner in which others have related to the land. He said, it is true that the Arabs were here, but they passed through with their flocks, consuming everything in their path, and then moved on. Goats rip out the roots and leave the land barren. That is not how the true owner of the land acts. There is no personal investment. Sarah compared this to King Solomon's judgment between two women claiming one baby as their own. Solomon offered to cut the baby in half, giving one half to each claimant. The true mother refused, as her love for her child made it unbearable to bring any harm to her baby. He said, everywhere you go in Israel, you can see the love the Jewish people have for the land. The Arabs claim it is theirs, but when there is a dispute like there is in the south of Israel right now, they don't hesitate to burn everything. So Sarah emphasized that the wine production was always thriving whenever there was a Jewish presence in Israel. Grapes are one of the seven species that receive a special blessing in the Bible, he noted. A land of wheat and barley, of vines, figs, pomegranates, and land of olive trees and honey, Deuteronomy 8:8 says. This special blessing was evident in Roman times when wine from Israel was highly prized as the best in the world. Sarah explained, wine has always been part of the Jewish presence in Israel, especially here in the Golan. Sarah presented to Breaking Israel News a map dotted with ancient wine presses that archaeologists discovered in the Golan. Unfortunately, we no longer have the original species of grapevines, he said. For 1,300 years of Muslim dominance in the region, wine production was prohibited. Sarah has a passion for wine and even has a small winery at his home in Migdal on the shores of the Galilee. He is still waiting for the ultimate expression of his wine-making skills. He said, I am here for the entire journey. It is my dream that one day I can bring my best wine to the temple. You see, in the heart of this gentleman and this article is that there will be a prophetic sign of this return of the vine, the return of the wine to the land, that it will be presented in the temple again. And so this is another step forward to you and I understanding that there will be a rebuilt actual temple in the Middle East. And that is going to coincide with Bible prophecy that we will see fulfilled in Revelation chapter 11. We know that there's a destruction to the outer courts, if you will, or no, to the temple again will take place. So I just read that as a thought about how the temple on earth is going to be a provocative reality to the Islamic world. I believe this is what is probably going to unite the Muslim world under a khalifa or an imam, if you will, or a mahdi. And I believe that the Islamic world will gather together at the sign of a temple. It's already a movement right now around the world amongst the Islamic population that Jerusalem has been declared the capital of Israel. And so there's a tremendous amount that we could be looking off to the right, if you will, of what's going on in the prophetic timeline in Israel. There are many things happening that are prophetic, biblically speaking. Now, having said that, I want to move into something. Let's go to a scripture in Zechariah, and I want to share this with you. In Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, there's a scripture here that says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. There's a principle here, and there are other scriptures that talk about this as well, but there's a principle in this verse that smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Yesterday, I was on radio on KERM, 790 AM, 100.3 FM, on my weekly Sunday morning 1 hour and 15 minute radio broadcast. And for an hour and 14 minutes, we had a wonderful Bible study. We had Pastor Ken Wagner, Pastor Michael Villarin, who has a prophetic unction inside of him. And we were talking about Matthew 24. We were talking about the need to prepare. We were talking about the region that we live in. There were so many wonderful things that were going on. And then in the last 60 seconds of that broadcast, I left the broadcast asking the listeners this question. What would happen to you if the head of this nation, the government of this nation, if you will, were decapitated? I couldn't believe it came out of my mouth. It was almost like a, wow, where'd that come from after this whole thing? And the word decapitation stuck in my mind, and I just left the broadcast after that. and went on about our business. I woke up this morning again on this Labor Day thinking about the need to enter into his rest, and some will not be able to because of unbelief, but I see entering into the rest as a entering into a Goshen, entering into an inward condition because of the turmoil that will hit this earth. And so I started thinking about what was going on in my spirit when I said that yesterday. And the colonel, our congressman's son, was sitting right across the booth. I don't think he could believe that I said what I said. And then I looked at this morning about a decapitation strike. And the Wikipedia article actually talks about a decapitation strike, which is a military strategy aimed at removing the leadership or command and control of a hostile government or group. The strategy of shattering or defeating the enemy by eliminating its military and political leadership has long been utilized in warfare. In nuclear warfare theory, a decapitation strike is a preemptive first strike attack that aims to destabilize an opponent's military and civil leadership structure in the hope that it will severely degrade or destroy its capacity for nuclear retaliation. It is essentially a subset of a counterforce strike, but whereas a counterforce strike seeks to destroy weapons directly, a decapitation strike is designed to remove an enemy's ability to use its weapons. So I'm reading this article, and I'm in my spirit yesterday, I'm seeing the Capitol, the United States Capitol, Washington, D.C. I'm seeing the building. I'm seeing a strike, a decapitation. I'm seeing it just cut off, gone. And immediately, of course, we start thinking about COG, the continuity of government manual that the U.S. government has, that there's a shadow government beneath, you know, the government that we see, that there would be a new form of government that would rise to take the controls and the power after such a strike. And you can go into that. I thought about 2009 when the Homeland Security put out the Day After Disaster on the History Channel, a two-hour program where they televise, they show at least 20 strikes per program of a nuclear bomb going off in Washington, D.C., the decapitation of the U.S. government. This is where Islam wants to go. This is where the enemies of Islam want to go. This is all Pentagon talk and Homeland Security talk. This was a program on every television in the United States of America for those that wanted to watch it. And it was not just a dramatic thing. It was a History Channel governmental documentation of what the government will do in such a case when the U.S. government is wiped out, when the head is taken out, when it's decapitated. And so yesterday, going off the air saying that and looking at these expressions of what this all means, that it's in this one nuclear warfare scenario, it's all about a first strike, that the enemies that are going to strike first, that their design and desire is to make a retaliatory strike incapable of happening. Now, we're the number one superpower nation in the world, so we're told through propaganda. That's what we're told. We're the U.S., we're the watchdogs, we're the police force, we're Babylon, we're all these different things. Well, we know that regardless of who the higher powers, God is able to bring the hewers and the hackers, and God is able to bring the fanners, and God is able to bring other nations, a confederacy of nations, to take out governmental powers. And the thought of this was, what would you do today, right now, you're driving down the road and the U.S. government was taken out? What would you do? You know what would happen in this country. You absolutely understand that the U.S. government in Washington, D.C., particularly being wiped out at some session, at some meeting or something, I mean, totally wiped out. What would happen? Now, let me just say this. These are not just my musings, okay? These are things that I believe are extremely revelatory and prophetic from the heart of God, that this will become a reality. Now, there are others who have gone out of their way to deal with this issue, and I want to get to that, but let me just go into the conventional warfare in a decapitation strike, if you will. A decapitation strike strategy has been employed in conventional warfare. In 2003, invasion of Iraq began with a decapitation strike against Saddam Hussein. That's what we did. And other Iraqi military and political leaders. These airstrikes failed to kill their intended targets. The U.S. and its NATO allies have and continue to pursue this strategy in its efforts to dismantle militant Islamic fundamentalist networks such as Al-Qaeda and ISIL that threaten Western Europe, Canada, and the United States. Additionally, the term has been used to describe the assassination of a government's entire leadership group or a nation's royal family. April 14, 1865, the assassination of U.S. President Abraham Lincoln by Confederate sympathizer John Wilkes Booth was part of a larger plot to disrupt the presidential line of succession by also killing then Vice President Andrew Johnson and Secretary of State William H. Seward at the close of the American Civil War. In February 1908, King Carlos I of Portugal was assassinated along with his son, the Crown Prince Luis Felipe, by Alfredo Luis de Costa and Manuel Buca, both connected to Carbonaria, or the Portuguese section of the Carbonari. And then in July 17, 1918, Tsar Nicholas II of Russia and the imperial family were executed by a Bolshevik firing squad under the command of Yakov Yurovsky. Now, this is what started World War I. In July 20th, 1944, Klaus von Stauffenberg attempted to assassinate German Führer Adolf Hitler and his inner circle of advisors as part of a broader military coup d'etat against the Nazi government, which ultimately failed. And then in 2017, last year, in response to the North Korean nuclear program, the United States threatened to conduct a decapitating strike on North Korea in order to eliminate its current government and leadership. So a decapitating strike is a reality. It is not some game board idea. It is a reality. Now, in fiction, let's go to a little fiction now. I want to just name a few things that have talked about this. In the Marvel Comics universe, Hydra has the slogan, "Cut off one head and two more shall take its place," thereby describing itself as an organization resistant to a decapitating strike while pursuing the same strategy against its enemies. The character of Madame Defarge in A Tale of Two Cities personifies both the Reign of Terror and the concept of a decapitating strike through her knitting. In the film Dr. Strangelove, Senator Buford complains that the U.S. nuclear deterrent lacks credibility. If the president were killed in a decapitation strike, retaliation would be impossible. Wing attack plan R is devised to close this loophole. In the essay, The Cuban Missile Crisis, Second Holocaust, an alternate history in which the 1962 crisis developed into war, the Soviets managed to destroy Washington, D.C., President John F. Kennedy, Vice President Lyndon B. Johnson, and most of their political and military advisors. Then in the 1994 Tom Clancy novel, Debt of Honor, a Japan Airlines pilot flies a fully fueled passenger-less Boeing 747 into the U.S. Capitol during a joint session of Congress. This is not an attack by a government, but it has the effect of removing the top tier of each branch of the United States government, most of Congress, the president, the cabinet, the Supreme Court, and the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The only survivors are two men, each claiming the vice presidency and thus the presidency by succession. That was written again in 1994. Man, they didn't even take those airplanes yet and fly them into the Twin Towers of New York. And someone attempted to take out the Pentagon building on 9/11 as well. But then fast forward, or well, let's go back just a little bit to the 1983 film War Games. The master computer, WOPR, is programmed to interpret a sudden power loss as the result of a decapitation strike and automatically launch all weapons in retaliation. In the made-for-cable film by Dr. Dawn's Early Light, the Soviet Union launches nuclear strikes against key U.S. targets, including a failed decapitation strike at Andrews Air Force Base, which would presumably have been the departure point for the president and his advisors. The story continues with the suggestion of a retaliatory decapitation strike strategy referred to as the Grand Tour. Now, in 2002, the film The Sum of All Fears, neo-Nazi terrorists attempt to start a war between the United States and the Russian Federation by, among other things, detonating a nuclear device during a football game in Baltimore at which the American president is in the audience. In 2013, science fiction film Star Trek Into Darkness, a majority of Starfleet Command's senior officers and admiralty are killed in a surprise attack in San Francisco by Khan Noonien Singh after being tricked into attending an emergency meeting following a bombing in London. And then in 2013, film White House Down, terrorists capture the White House intending to kill the president of the United States. They subsequently strike a plane, which also houses the vice president of the United States. And then, of course, who could forget the 2016 series Designated Survivor, starring Kiefer Sutherland as Tom Kirkman, the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, who becomes president after a terrorist attack, president, the vice president, and all other members of the cabinet. All right, so those are the fictional ideas, the movies, the thoughts, the books that have been written about all these things that are happening to a decapitation event. And again, I'm only referring this because the strangest thing happened yesterday. And I was told back in 2001 on September 11th that I was to pay attention to every little joke, every little word, every little thing that came out of my mouth. Because what did I do on September 3rd? 2001, I was at the Denver airport flying a multi-million-dollar flight simulator, and I took my flight simulator on September 3rd, and I flew over the Hudson River from Newark Airport into New York around Central Park, and I went south. I saw the Twin Towers. I took my plane. I flew it directly into them. Everybody chuckled. 8 days later, it actually happened. God said, pay attention to every little thing you do. Yesterday, with about 60 seconds left in a broadcast, everything was great. This came out of my mouth, a decapitation against the government, against the head of the United States of America. And how would the people of this country react to such a thing? Now, there is a document, and this is a very real document, called the Continuity of Government. And what that is the principle of establishing. This is a government document. That establishes defined procedures that allow a government to continue its essential operations in case of a catastrophic event such as nuclear war. The COG is what they call it, Continuity of Government, was developed by the British government before and during World War II to counter threats such as the Luftwaffe bombing during the Battle of Britain. The need for continuity of government plans gained new urgency with nuclear proliferation. During and after the Cold War, countries developed such plans to avoid or minimize confusion and disorder due to a power vacuum in the aftermath of a nuclear attack. In the U.S., at least, COG is no longer limited to nuclear emergencies. The Continuity of Operations Plan was activated following the September 11 attacks. And that activation has never ceased, by the way. There are many things that have happened that have never ceased. And so these are plans that the governments around the world have to deal with decapitation events that would take place in their countries. And there are all kinds of them. There's the Designated Survivor, which is a real one. There's Preemptive War, Preemptive War II. There's the Samson Option. There's Targeted Killing. There's the list of military strategies and concepts, list of military tactics, Operation Looking Glass. So the American people seem to be the sheeple, and their shepherd seems to be the U.S. government, which was never intended in the United States of America. The government was to be a servant to the people. The people were the government, if you will. We, the people of the United States. Something has changed dramatically, where now every person seems to be, not every, you know what I'm talking about, there's a remnant who are not, but there are the majority of the people that are now slaves to the government. They do what the government says, whatever laws the government projects, everybody goes by them, and the people hardly ever rise up to put an end to governmental rules, governmental legislation, governmental law, Supreme Court, you know, rulings. And so the people have shown themselves to be under the control. The majority of the people in this country who claim to be Christian, by the way, have refused to stand up against abortion, homosexual marriages, et cetera, et cetera. We've just allowed these things to continue and we do nothing about it, which shows we are not the people that are ruling this nation. The government has taken a controlling position over this nation as a governmental power. Now, there is a massive threat against the government of the United States, and they're banking on their ability to protect themselves against terrorism. And what we have seen for many, many years is a pride in their own ingenuity and power to protect themselves because of their military strategy, because of their ingenuity, et cetera, et cetera. But the fact of the matter is, when a nation fights against God, regardless of how much power a nation may have, God has an ability to undermine that authority. And I believe that God is warning the United States, the people in this country, that they're going to have to learn how to live apart from what we understand as government in our country. You know, and I know that right now the heightened tensions that are going on around the world, that we have a divided nation, that there are people on the left that not only dislike but hate this present administration. A severe battle for a new Supreme Court justice, Kavanaugh, is coming to the light right now. We have moved into a volatile season in September and October and November. I believe it is volatile. I believe God is saying the potential for a decapitation strike against the head of the government of the United States is being planned. Now, whether or not it will succeed, only God knows. It is whether or not God allows these things to happen or not. But the question that I asked was not just a stirring decapitation event. The question I asked is, if it happened today, how would you fare? What would that do to the economy? If the United States government was taken out today, where would you be? Do you think there would be peace in our nation? Do you think that all the elements would just say, hey, our government was taken out, let's get along? Or is the evidence of what we've seen in the realm of anarchy, in the realm of burning buildings, burning government property, burning, you know, there is a chant coming on from Antifa and millions of young people around this country. No more borders, no more walls, no more USA at all. Come on, you know it's there. I know it's there. They don't want a USA. They don't want governmental power. And so there's a movement within, like what do they call those little guys that get in there, the termites that are within the house that are eating away at the fabric and the foundation of the house until it's all rotten and it just is so easily collapsible. Well, the termites have been working very strong. And the columns that have upheld our nation are shaking in the underground. They've been shaking for some time. And it's only a matter that a little bit of weight will come and collapse this country in its economy. And I believe that it's possible. You pray about it. You think about it. I'm not trying to be dramatic. Something came out of my mouth on a radio program that goes all over the world yesterday with the congressman's father sitting across from us. Decapitation against the U.S. government. What would you do? What would you do? I don't want to just get into conversation, well, whether it's going to happen or not going to happen. I want to have a conversation on what would you do right now? Do you have any idea what things will look like, honestly look like, if that event were to happen today, right now? Would we still be able to broadcast over the internet? What would come on our television screens? What would happen if all of a sudden the U.S. government was taken out in Washington, D.C.? What would happen? There was an old series they didn't mention was called Jericho. The government actually shut the program down because Jericho was all about nuclear strikes against several cities in the United States of America. I saw Jericho after way back when in 2004, God showed an open vision of several nuclear bombs going off in several major cities at the same time. Jericho in 2006 came out, and they were, this whole series was so true, so real, so close to home that they actually had to shut it down in its third season. They stopped it. They prevented it from going forward, exposing everything. But the people in a little town had to figure out what to do because all of a sudden came the electrical strike, the EMP, after the nuclear strikes. And people had to learn how to survive, and people were roving gangs and military coups and black ops operations people that were survivors. I mean, that's in the movies. I'm asking you right now, wherever you are, wherever you live, if the U.S. government were taken out today, what would happen to your money that you have in the bank? What would happen to your retirement, to your CDs, to your 401ks? How prepared are you? Will you be able to safely leave your home and hit the highways? What will happen in the inner cities? Only God knows what will happen in the inner cities. You could only imagine. But I'm asking you today for a little bit of conversation, and I would invite you to call into the program today. The number is 818-369-0326. And you say, well, why are we talking about this on Labor Day? Because God has put it in my heart to talk about it. I believe there is a rest for the people of God. Let me bring this back now. I believe there is a rest for the people of God, that they do not panic, they do not live in fear, that inwardly in their spirit there is a divine rest, and in that rest they will be navigated purely by the Holy Spirit to have wisdom on what to do. Number to call, 818-369-0326, and make sure to press 1 on your dial pad. I'll bring you into the broadcast. And maybe you're listening to this broadcast and you're in another country. And in your other country, you're thinking, you know, you're an observer watching from afar. Do you know you're in Bible prophecy in Revelation 18? The nations are standing afar off, weeping over the destruction of Babylon. Let's take our first call this morning coming in from 479-586. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey, Pastor, this is Bill. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. Bill, how are you?
Well, pretty good. Your scenario that you laid out there, if you're anywhere away from your home when something like that happens, it's documented, it's proven, but you'll have less than 24 hours to get to where you need to be safely, probably closer to about 12 hours, because they'll mobilize the guards and the reserves and then the regular military. They'll be shutting down highways and back roads and all the main thoroughfares. So if you can get home, you're going to have to use the back roads to get there. And then you're going to have to deal with the people that know what's going on and are going to try to take advantage of it by taking advantage of those trying to get home. If you're anywhere near a major metropolitan area, the only hope that you have other than the Lord Jesus Christ and his angels is to get out of there quickly. Because if not, you won't survive. They will. You will become cannon fodder, if you will. So that thing will happen so fast. And when it does, if you're on the wrong side of where you need to be, or like you say, if you're not in the right place at the right time with the right people doing the right thing, chances are you're not going to have that opportunity again. Very slim, unless you have the skills to navigate it.
Absolutely. And let me ask you this, while you're on this track. I was told years ago that when an event like this happens, that there's already in place military roadblocks or different roadblocks that would happen throughout the United States, and that these roadblocks would become very hostile and violent, and people would be actually getting all their stuff taken away in some cases. Can you speak into that?
I know several state police in several states that will confirm that. I know one state that neighbors your state, and I know several state police officers over there that told me that when, not if, but when this scenario happens, they will shut that state down so fast it'll make your head spin, and nobody will come in, and nobody will go out unless they say so. Not only will you have your garden reserves that the governors and the government will try to put in place, but your state police and your county sheriffs and all the rest of it, they're already part of that continuity of government. They're already part of that plan to shut things down, and then the chances are they won't be waiting for orders from further up, because those orders might never come. So then it's, you know, whoever the head dog is going to try to take things in his own hands and do things his way. It would be ugly. If it were me and I were out here, I would avoid those like the plague. You know, if I had to crawl on my hands and knees through a cornfield for 3 miles to get around it, that's what I'd do, but I'd avoid it like the plague.
Okay, next question. The news media. Every time a major strike, whether it's 9/11 or whatever, the news media tells the tale. I can imagine a time when this happens and the televisions across the country are now taken over by whatever power to tell the people what happened. What do you think they will be telling the American people?
Well, first of all, the media only tells you what they're told to tell you, okay, from whether it's the CIA or the government or whatever, because most of that is controlled and has been for years. And what they're going to tell you is now if another country is the one that caused this to happen, they're going to tell you what they want to tell you, as far as, you know, well, hey, okay, we're here to take care of you. We're gonna make sure that you have food and water and your supplies are met. You know, you need to come over here to this stadium or this arena or do this and come on in peacefully and we'll make sure that you're taken care of and we've got food and supplies. You're not coming out if you go in, okay? That's just the bottom line. Okay. They're going to tell you what they want you to hear, but you go in there, don't plan on coming out.
When we do a lot of traveling across this country, we came out of Wyoming a few weeks ago, for example, and we saw with our very eyes very large areas that were fenced in, and some people have documented through the years that there are camps, there are prisons, there are jails all over this country that are out in the middle of nowhere. How would those be employed at a time like this?
There are prisons right now that are on the books that are operated by private companies that have zero prisoners in them. But the government pays to keep them open, pays these private companies to keep them open. And
all right, we lost you. I think we lost you. Okay, so we got a cutoff there. We better just kind of let that rest for a second. Hey, we're talking about a very real scenario, and I'm trying to employ a conversation, and I know it's Labor Day, and I know it's not a comfortable conversation. I get that. I understand that. I'm not meaning to in any way ruin your day, but this is something that is alive. It's urgent. It's very real, at least to me, and I'm only asking you a question. What would you do if this event happened? Let's see if I can get our caller back. Bill, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I lost my signal, but those camps or those prisons will be used for people that dissent, that have a voice, that are leaders of people or leaders of men such as yourself, that have a vision or a futuristic idea, that are well aware of what's going on, and try to convey to the people, hey, you want to avoid this, you don't want to be there, those type of people that have a voice will be rounded up, and then any such followers of those people, what they do is they want you to be like a lemming, like you used to watch on the National Geographic Channel. When one jumps over the cliff, 1,000 of them jump over. Well, when one of them goes into the camp, they want all of them to go into the camp. But those particular prisons will be used for people that have a voice that are going to speak out. They'll be coming after them.
Right. They don't want any other contrary theme or any contrary conversation to what they're going to be telling the people. And so what a time for God's people to prepare, to have the Word of God in them, to have a foreknowledge of these events, and maybe the prophecy that God is wanting to get, the prophetic word to his people, is get this understanding in your heart, prepare for these things, not in fear, but in wisdom, as Noah prepared his ark, and understand when these things happen that that will be the time to keep your lips quiet. There will come a time that no man should utter a word. There's a biblical, there's scriptures concerning that. And it's something that we need to be continually thinking about, talking about, and getting ready for. And so I appreciate the conversation. Anything left that you'd like to share before we move on?
No, we'll hang up and listen to the show. Be blessed, Pastor.
All right. Thank you, sir. God bless you for your conversation. If you are listening on the phone right now, the number is 818-369-0326. Of course, press 1 on your dial pad, and I would like to just bring you into the conversation. What are you hearing this morning? We began with a beautiful poem about the true saints of God being like eagles soaring in the above life, not being messed with all the lower level activities. We also know that there is a rest for the people of God. So should we take these thoughts and ideas and exclude preparation? Let's take our next call coming in from area code 479-426. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. This is Billy Bob.
Hey,
and,
Billy Bob.
I like what Billy had to say about the awareness of what the shadow government will do to control the country. But also what you just said, Pastor, is that there's a motivation behind this all. When the government will get decapitated is fear. How else do you captivate fear? Is by controlling it with physical power, by doing what Bill said, you know, just shutting down things, getting control on people. But I also see this, Pastor, that possibly – that the salivation of all those underground terror groups, the Muslims, the racial tensions, the blacks versus white that we hear about, they're just salivating for the moment to just come out when they say this is the moment when we will strike as well. And I see that happening. And when that happens, I mean, can you imagine all the chaos and the confusion and all the turmoil and the stress and the worry and the panic that will happen. And the other part of this, on the other side of the coin, we as believers of the truth, I believe we'll have a heart of peace, but you know, it is a hard saying that we'll have a rejoicing because we see that this is a time when doom and gloom is coming, the black cloud over the unbelievers, the sons of disobedience. But the shining light of our Father, the glory, will be shining upon those that have prepared, those like the wise virgins who have the oil, will have a place prepared in the wilderness. They'll have a place that they can rejoice, but yet at the same time, like you said, we will be silent, which, as the Bible says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Will we rejoice in the time that we see the confusion and all this? Not really. We'll be mourning for that because we need to be comforted. But what our eyeballs will see, Pastor, I think, is such the carnage of the physical abuse, the deaths, the ravaging of one another, the panicking, maybe the cannibalism, maybe just doing away the lower class people, some kind of mass death, destruction. And it's sad because you say, well, this is America. Well, America, as you know, you brought it forth, and I praise God for the spirit of truth that is going forth, that America is no longer America the Beautiful, because America the Beautiful has, if you want to put it, the Statue of Liberty has fornicated with foreign gods. And so she has become polluted. But the moment of this is that, once again, I hear on this radio station that those that are listening, that there is a voice of one, of many people, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Don't be caught off guard. We, as believers, are hearing it, and we are preparing ourselves because we want to be in the center of the storm, in the peace, in our hearts, in a place of peace, as Bill said, doing the right things at the right time with the right people.
Outstanding admonition. Wonderful, wonderful words of truth. And you brought in the beautiful balance to that. I appreciate it. Get ready. You know, we wouldn't be much of a watchman and this ministry, Omega Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, the Omega Radio Network has been designed by God to be a prophetic voice in the wilderness, to come, join us, talk about it. Let's hear the wisdom, the spiritual intelligence of God in his people. And the spiritual intelligence of God in this hour is not peace and safety. America's government is about to have a day of accountability. And that's where the people within this nation who gave their authority over to a government, you saw John McCain, for example. John McCain, a senator, died, and the pomp and the praise. Why? Why so much pomp? Why so much praise? Was it CNN just using that to put another dagger in Donald Trump because Donald Trump and John McCain were at odds with each other? I don't know. But all that money, all that expense, all those people. Well, the government is to be the servant of the people. They're acting like their own entity. They love themselves. They care about themselves. They really didn't care about our society as innocent blood was being shed. They didn't care about that. They didn't care about a lot of things, about the reality of what their legislation would create within our society. So I believe a day of accountability is coming regardless who's in the office. And I believe it's at the door, folks. I really believe it's at the door. Time will tell. Regardless, the call today is for you and I to mount up with wings as an eagle, to soar into the heavenlies, into a genuine relationship in the spiritual atmosphere with God the Father. And this is our call. Is there another comment, Brother Michael, before we move on?
No, Pastor, I just rejoice in the moment. I rejoice that God has allowed this to get on to the internet and to reach the vast numbers of those that have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying and to hear the Father's heart in this moment. And I praise God for it, Pastor Vincent.
Bless you, brother. Love you. Take care. Arrivederci. Got another call coming in from South Dakota. Let's take that call, 605. You're on the air. Good morning. God bless you.
Thank you. Yes, as you were talking about these things that are coming upon America, I'm sitting in my chair, and I have this flash vision. And here's what I saw. I saw my hand, like I was like a child, and I saw this other hand, which was a masculine big hand, holding my hand, and it was gone out of my mind. And I said, God, what? Well, you know, I'm thinking, what did I see? And then now I've been meditating on this, and it was like, you know, the Lord says he walks with us and he talks with us. And it was like, I'm here with you. That's all I know.
Amen. Well, and stay in that. And that's your peace. And I agree with that. But at the same time, we balance that out. I know we've heard it for so many years, Kathy. We've heard this from the Dimitri Dudemans, the David Wilkersons. And I could go on down the list from the Corey Ten Boons. I could go on down the list of all of this scenario that has been presented. And I do not believe it was malicious. I do not believe it was make-believe. I do not believe it was false prophecy. I believe that God has been describing to this generation who began to legally shed the innocent blood in this country and get into a lot of other stuff, I believe that he has now brought us to a point of accountability where all the words of the prophets and prophetesses of God are going to be fulfilled. So, yes, hang tight. Take hold of the hand of the Father. Mount up with wings as eagles. Get high as you can go in the Spirit. And find your peace and your rest in him. But make sure you have your provisions. Make sure you're ready and think about it. Just one more time, just think about this. I want to leave you with this question before Patricia Joy comes on the air. I want to leave you with this question one more time. If the United States government head was cut off, decapitated today, and it changed everything within our society, I mean, people's hopes would be dashed to the ground, people's dreams, people's, you know, hope for financial prosperity, a new job, family, every single thing. And I would encourage you to get the Jericho series. Watch Jericho. You want to watch something that's worthy? Jericho from 2006. It's a series you could probably get on Netflix or wherever. Watch it again. You'll learn a lot from it. It was prophetic. A lot of things were decreed and declared. And I just believe that God unctioned this conversation, and I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to go out with a little song from my dear friend. Maybe you'll like it as much as I will right now. Patricia Joy Xavier up next, live right here on the Omega Radio Network.
My son, why are you striving? You can't add one thing to what's been done for you. I did it all while I was dying. Rest in your faith, my peace will come to you. When I hear the praises stop, oh, I want to rain upon you blessings that will fill your heart. I've seen no stain upon you because you are my child.
Well, hello, hello, hello. Today is a holiday, and we're supposed to be rejoicing and having a great time. But you know, all these holidays have really not much to do with the perfect will of God and what He is desiring for every single day. He is saying, come into my rest. That is His call to each and every one of us. And most of us are not in rest. We're in turmoil. We are not in peace. We are in stress. And why is that? Well, you heard what was read by a word that was given to Pastor Vincent, oh, a number of years ago, about rising above our circumstances as an eagle would rise above our circumstances. Do not do this. We are going to be caught up in the darkness of this time, and we're going to not know the glory that God has set apart for those who truly love Him, those who desire Him completely. He's ready to search out for His bride. He's ready to call her in. She is to be without spot and wrinkle, and she has her oil, the anointing of God upon her. Five others missed it. Five other virgins that represent a half of the church. They are the great falling away. How do I know that? It's mentioned in the book of Matthew 24. There will be a great falling away. We're not talking about the world falling away. They're already fallen away. We're talking about the word in which describes the church. How then are we to be in such a situation as we see? You know, during Jesus' earthly ministry, the kingdom of God was His focus. And His teaching, His parables, explained the truth of the kingdom and how to secure an inheritance in it. We must secure an inheritance in the kingdom of God. And He came down fully God and fully man. He moved in kingdom authority. Jesus came to establish His rule, the government of God, by warring against the defeating Satan and his stronghold of sin and death. We are hearing much about sin and death today, but what is that all about? The wages of sin is death. And you know, body of Christ and all those who are listening all over the world, the wages of sin is death, but it is also the wages of a destructive work in one's life to bring that death about. That's how it manifests itself. And the sin could be unbelief. As simple as that. Oh, I'm a Christian, but for most part, I'm in unbelief. I don't really believe the word of God. I don't truly stand on his promises because I can't do it. My mind gets interrupted with accusations and fears and all kinds of things that come into my sphere. And the Lord says, I have given you a way out. Take that way out, body of Christ. And people of God, come into the church of the true living God and the true church. It was by Jesus' sinless life and his sacrificial death, he reclaimed the dominion given to Satan in the fall. That's why this world has never been correct. It has never been right. It has never been overcoming. We have had wars and rumors of wars, deaths and destruction from the very beginning of the fall unto this very day. 6,000 years of it. How long will we continue to believe religiosity and not the true word of God, which is powerful in spirit and in might for the pulling down of strongholds? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, saith the Lord. And he declared that, Matthew 28:18. And in the Greek word for authority, it means rightful, actual, and impended power to act, to possess, to control, or dispose of someone or something. Well, let me say this, body of Christ, or all who are listening and need to come into the realm of Christ, the rightful power is by him, not by nuclear bombs, not by nations rising up against nations, not by government controlling. The impended power is him. And he gives us that power to act. He gives us the power to possess the land. What land? Our physical being land that was purchased by the blood of Jesus and the land in which we given us. He has given us authority. And I'll tell you, we are going to grab hold of this authority or we're not. He restored all that was relinquished at the fall. And 2,000 years ago, he did this. And yet, Christianity came into the world and has been vying to stand in that position and keep that which was granted to us. And every demon in hell tried to come against it, but he's already been defeated. Why has he had such opportunity at this time? Because of a lack of belief and faith in what Jesus Christ did for us 2,000 years ago when he wiped the floor with Satan and said, I give you the authority. He no longer has it. He gave it to his body. He gave it to his believers. And he said, Satan, you no longer have it. Well, why does it look like he has it? Because those of us who have been given this great gift, we do not utilize that wonderful gifting, that wonderful power, and we do not work against him and bind him and curse him and direct him away as Jesus Christ showed us to do. We do not execute the judgment. We learn things. We understand things. We begin to be restored by the wisdom God has given us. But we fail to do what has been given us to do. Not only to go out and save souls, but think about how many souls would be saved if you bound Satan out of individuals, if you healed them when they were walking about in torture of cancer and various other unbelievable destructive viruses that are out there today. Have you done the work God has called you to do? Are you out there being that soldier, the enemy of the enemy? Have you done that? Have you cast out devils? Have you healed the sick? Have you restored them? or are you just out saying a lot of things, making a lot of noise, but not active in the army, the true army, not a compromised army, counterfeit army, but the true army of Jesus Christ? Are you part of that? Jesus restored all that was relinquished at the fall, and he has positioned an army and us to partner with him, to partner with our Father in releasing his kingdom right here on earth. Are you doing it? Are you releasing his kingdom right here on earth? So what do we do, body of Christ? Do we go on in the way we have been? Are we receiving the authority that we have been given? Jesus Christ already disarmed the enemy in all his demonic forces, all his powers. He has already disarmed the powers and authorities, and he has given us the authority. He made a public spectacle of demonic spirits and Satan himself, triumphing over them by the cross, that unbelievable, horrible death that he took upon himself, that we may have this authority, that we may have eternal salvation. He disarmed the enemy, meaning he stripped him. Christ stripped Satan and all his minions of any power or authority they once had. He restored all that was relinquished at the fall and positioned us to partner with him in releasing his kingdom. How does it work? When we receive salvation, we are given the profound privilege of being adopted into his family, the family of God, and becoming his sons and daughters. You know how you feel about your sons and daughters. How much more does he feel about us, who he had created in the womb of our mothers? He predestined us to be adopted as his sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us so that we might receive the full rights of sonship. Too many of us are still concerned about our natural dads and what our natural dads have done to us and the pain of it all. Get off it. We have a heavenly Father that is so mighty and so more a Father because he created us in the womb of our mothers than any earthly father that had not the full wisdom of God could ever be on the face of this earth. And he must be heard. If you have a father wound, it must be heard. We have been adopted. In Greek, it means to be positioned as an adult son and daughter. When we are born into God's family through Jesus, we are automatically blessed with the legal rights and privileges of a sonship, a daughtership. So at first, we are immature spiritually, which is why I wrote the book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, to help us to come into maturity. We are considered adult sons and daughters who can enjoy daddy's wealth and exercise all the glorious privileges, all the glorious responsibilities of adult sonship. But we have to want to go there. We have to be justified by grace by receiving Jesus Christ. We have to be sanctified by his word and cleansed, the bride of Christ, from spot and wrinkle. And then we become glorified to receive the power that has been granted to us by the word of God through the salvation of the cross. We don't have to wait to enjoy spiritual riches we have in Christ. We don't have to wait for that. No, we don't. We have already been given those spiritual riches. We don't have to go on and on in our dilemma. No, we don't. We have been granted all things in Jesus Christ. We have been granted all things in Jesus Christ. All things that is worthy. All things that are righteous. All things that are good. All things that make us powerful and the wonderful gift to this world. And you may laugh at that and say, well, I can't be a gift to this world. Look at my life. You can be if you believe. You are a son and daughter of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who have been baptized into Christ, you have clothed yourself with Christ. And I want to go on and tell you that you have legal rights and privileges. The adoption, the position that you have, the born-again experience you have in God's family through Jesus, you are automatically blessed with legal rights and privileges. The legal rights come from the throne room of God, the courtrooms of heaven, and people of God, body of Christ, and all those that are out there to hear, the courtrooms of heaven are legal. That is where the natural government understood through their own spirit what government is from the very beginning, from the fall on. They pulled it out from understanding through demonic spirits that there is a government, and they wanted to become that government on earth. But there is the true and only government of God, and that is in the throne room of God. It is real, it exists, and it is where we get our legal rights. We have the greatest government that has ever been established, and that's where the natural world gets its ideas from. But this one is in heaven. This one is true and powerful and mighty for the pulling down of strongholds, for overcoming all illegal trespassers, which is Satan. And Satan is bound and cast if you so desire to do so. This is that which we have been legally given. Let's not be immature in our spirit anymore. Let us be considered as adults, sonship, daughters, and sons of God. Enjoy the Father's wealth and exercise all the glorious privileges and responsibility of adult sonship. Are you ready for it? Are you ready to rise up? Forget what the world is doing. They can't compare to you, but we have to take our position. We are also God's heirs, so you are no longer a slave, but a son and a daughter. And since you are a son and a daughter of Almighty God, not only do you have legal right, but anytime Satan comes upon your territory, upon your life, upon your body, sickness, disease, infirmities, you have a legal right to cast him out, and the power is there to do so. God has made you an heir. And then in that Greek word of heir, it means recipient of divine promises. But do you know them? Do you understand the divine promises? Do you get them into your heart? Do you read the Bible? Do you repeat them? Do you go over and over and over again with these divine promises that you speak out? And when you speak out, the power comes out of your mouth and disperses the darkness. It's an arrow. It's a fire that works outward and crushes all evil and burns it up until they must go to the dry place and stay there. Divine promises are yours. You're an heir to receive his allotted possession by right daughtership, by right sonship. Know who you are. Remember Lion King? Know who you are. Know who you are. That was a representation to prepare the body of Christ. And a lot of us didn't know it. It was done subtly, but it was a spiritual work. You know, the Bible goes on to say, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And that's in Romans 8:17, co-heirs with Christ. Do you realize how incredibly powerful that is? Do you know what Christ has done? Do you understand all the workings of the kingdom of God, his crucifixion, his power of resurrection, the kingly heavenly courtrooms? Do you understand it? I am trying my best, and Pastor Vincent is trying his best to let you know what it's all about, because we are not only heirs, but also co-heirs with Christ. And all that belongs to Yeshua Jesus as the firstborn also belongs to us. It is in our DNA. Our DNA has been changed by the blood of Jesus Christ to be a firstborn. We are now his. We're not our own anymore. And we are co-heirs. And we are fellow receivers together. We are joint participants together in all the Father has done. He has given us the keys of the kingdom. How long are we going to stay in darkness? How long are we going to repeat the same mantras? Let's get going. Let's do what God has created us to do. Let's do his will and no other. More and more people today are searching for meaning and purpose in their life. I hear it all the time. They want to know their purpose. Why are they here? They want to know their destiny. Do you imagine how many Christians die without ever knowing what their destiny was on this earth? That's a sad indication of Christianity. It is not to be that way. But Satan has had his way in the courtrooms where he had had right by the lack of knowledge in the church of the living God. And I'll tell you another thing. Christians have opportunity to reach out with a supernatural power if they would just believe it. I would ask you, please, to get my book so you can learn more of this. I don't know if you understand the things I am saying, especially if you're a new Christian. But if you are not a brand new Christian, you have some understanding. Either way, get my book. It will do you a world of good. No, I'll say it will do you a heavenly amount of good. And you can get it easily by going to Amazon and just type in Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. You have rights you must know about to work against the evil of this life, this world, this darkness. You have to know how. You better know how now, or you're going to get sucked right in. You're not going to understand what you have been granted. Then you're going to be a person that is going to be wallowing in the mire. You don't want that. You don't want that at all. God has influenced culture. And he has made claim that more souls have come into the kingdom the last few decades than all the centuries combined since Christ's ministry on earth. Why, these are the last days. But there's a greater battle against darkness, and it's not diminishing, and it's growing in momentum. And the youth of today, if they don't embrace what I am saying, they are going to be sucked into the darkness of this world and thinking they've got answers they don't have. And destruction will be theirs. You have children, you better make sure they're understanding the true Christianity of God. And we have answers and questions. We have to answer those questions, if there are any. Now, Omega Radio needs your help. I am Patricia Xavier, and I am ministering through Omega Radio, and Omega Radio reaches out all over the world. We're getting more and more reports of the growth of Omega Radio. It is time, folks, to believe in what we're doing together. It is time to take a position to say, I know the airwaves belong to the Lord and not to Satan, and to bring the truth, Almighty God's truth, to this dying, dark earth, and get as many saved as possible to get a harvest going. And in that harvest, when it is fulfilled, the enemy will be bound and the Lord will come in his glory. Come on. We could do this. If you would have faith and believe in him, We could do this, not in what you have and don't have, not in what you want and don't want. You be led by the Spirit of the living God. He will lead you. Don't force issues. Forcing issues is the worst thing you can do at this time because you want things to be a certain way. There are times I see certain things and my heart grieves. Why? Why is it this way? Why couldn't it be better? When are people going to get it right? When am I going to get it right? But I tell you this, if we don't force issues and lean on the Lord and the Holy Spirit to move us through, to bring us to the place in His glory that we need to be, we won't care about any issues except being a tree who has borne much fruit and just being connected into the root. And as that nourishment rises up through the root, up into the branch, and we bear more fruit, we are easily at peace and at rest. But we are excited too. As the wind blows from the north, east, west, south, the wind of righteousness coming in our direction in a greater manner than we have ever known, where the body of Christ is united in tabernacles, which we will celebrate September 23rd on the Ark, where there is a dome around it for God's protection. People have seen it in the Spirit. It is there, and some have painted it without even knowing that it's been prophesied over the Ark in Decatur, Arkansas. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful privilege it is to gather together with like-minded Christians who either know or want to know. Is it you? If so, go to our website, Omega. No, it's not that. NWMGlobal.org. Forgive me for forgetting that, but we have so many different things going on and different names. It becomes forgetful sometimes, but may the Lord restore me as I ask Him to restore your memory. And why would I say that? Because many people are having memory problems. And I believe there is a reason for that. It has been issued out through chemtrails, aluminum, and other minerals that are damaging, and chemicals that are damaging. Let me say this. We have a powerful God that if we believe we are healed, we are healed. Every cell in our bodies need to be renewed by the new DNA of the blood of Jesus Christ, be restored to righteousness, healing, and power. It is time. We know who we are. Lion King again. Know who you are. Know who you are. Who are you? Are you truly our Lord, Almighty God, Jesus Christ? Are you? Would you like to help us do more of this kind of work? To reach every nation matters. And in a short time, because it is a short time. You know, before He returns, we want to tell everybody about the good news of the kingdom. The power that we have been granted, the authority we have been granted, and to how to overcome the evil one. Write to us at P.O. Box 100. Decatur, Arkansas, 72722. And if you would be willing to send a gift of $20 so we can continue in this work in a greater way, doing greater work for the kingdom of God, which we need to do, I ask you please to do so. And I would love to bless you freely with my book. I give you that in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, a blessing from heaven. The labor day is to labor, as was said, to labor to be in His kingdom. God bless you.